be here when I got the invitation. I was like, yes, let me do that. Would love to, because here's why. What all of you do with your children and in the season that you're in is really, really, really important. And I just count it a privilege to be able to do something to try and encourage you to keep following Jesus well and to figure out how to apply the gospel in your life as moms. It's super, super important. So take your Bible if you've got one, or maybe grab your phone and take a look at Psalm 27. I know the slide says Psalm 40, but I changed a little bit of my approach today. And let me just read the first verse of Psalm 27 and then the last verse. So here it is. Here's the first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then look at the last verse, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. In my office, there's this little book. It's called Waiting on God by Andrew Murray. It's a classic book. I commend it to you. I have that book, and I'm saving it because it was given to me at my first church by an old woman who's now with the Lord named Joanne. And she looked me square in the eyes and said, young man, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. She was quoting a text from Exodus, and when she was quoting it to me, it was a really important moment in my life and pastoral ministry. I was 25 years old. I was candidating for the senior pastor role at this church. They took a huge risk on me, I on them, and it was an independent, fundamental, King James only, Beulah Land singing kind of church. So it was an interesting place. And as you can imagine, church candidating processes in all churches are interesting, but this one in particular was extraordinarily interesting. And I was in a long season of trying to figure out how do we make our way through this. And I was being encouraged by this saintly woman to learn what it means to wait on the Lord. I could pull a Bible out from my office where I took notes all throughout that journey and kind of put in the margin what was happening every day. And it's a lot of notes, a lot of material. And I'll tell you, when I look back on that, I can see, wow, God was doing some amazing things in my life. Like, I can see that it's so incredibly formative, even things that I still use and apply in my life today. Huge opportunity for spiritual growth. But to be honest with you, when I was in that season, the only thing I wanted was for it to be over. I could look now and see, wow, that waiting season was really, really formative. It was actually really, really good. Good for me, good for the church, good for my soul. But it wasn't easy, and quite frankly, when I look back on that season, I think that I probably wasted that time of my life because I didn't embrace the fact that this waiting was something that was important, it was formative, and it really was doing something in my soul. So what I want to talk with you about today is how to not repeat my mistake from that season. And maybe encourage you, if you're in a season right now where you're being forced to wait, how do you think about that? And maybe even get you to the point, hopefully by the end of my short talk here, to help you realize that waiting is actually essential to the Christian life. Waiting is what Christians do, and I'd like you to do more than just tolerate the waiting moments in your life. I'd like you to actually embrace them, plan for them, and even build them into your life, because waiting is so important and so essential. So that's what we're going to try and do today from Psalm 27. First, just hear this quotation from Andrew Murray. He says this, "Let us resolve at once that it shall be the one characteristic of our life and worship, a continual, humble, truthful waiting upon God. We may rest assured that he who made us for himself, that he might give us himself, that he will never disappoint us." Listen to this. "In waiting on him, we shall find rest and joy and strength and supply." Are you there? Do, 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 do. Check, check, check. A little lower. There you go. Awesome. All right. Can you all hear me now? Good. All right. So here's what I imagine I hope will happen. That tomorrow morning, or maybe tonight, you'll just sit with an open Bible, and you'll say something like this. Lord, I don't know why you have me in this season, but I'm done complaining about it. I don't know why you're intending for me to not know what's going on, but I want to take courage. I want to take strength. I want to learn what it means to wait. And so the aim of my talk here is to help you learn what it means to wait intentionally, not just to wait the right way, but also to wait right away. Okay? So not just wait the right way, but also wait right away. So I want you to notice here that waiting, first and foremost, is a command. So I want you to think about waiting in two ways today. Waiting is a command, and waiting as an identity. So waiting is what God calls us to do, but I also want to suggest to you that waiting is actually what it means to be a Christian. Like, you can't separate waiting from being a Christian. So you could see this through that particular lens. So waiting as a command. Look at verse 14 again. Actually, go to verse 13 because I love the optimism here. He says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Some of you may need to memorize that verse. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The reason I'm saying it that way is because I've committed that verse to memory because I've needed it. When I'm in a gap season and trying to figure out what's going on and I'm not liking my waiting, I need to be reminding that myself that I believe that I'm going to look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So therefore, what does verse 14 say to do? Verse 14 says, develop a strategic plan, get some friends and get advice, read a book, take a class. No, all those things could be important, but at the end of the day, he says, wait for the Lord. Be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. So he repeats this phrase, wait for the Lord. He uses it twice for emphasis. And then he links, be strong and let your heart take courage. So these aren't, it's not passive. So many of us think waiting is what I'm forced to do and I'm in a passive position. And I want to change that for you to realize, no. Waiting is actually an active thing. You're not just having to wait, you get to wait. You're not just in a space where all you can do is wait. You're in a space where what you get to do is wait. To see that this is a moment of spiritual empowerment, not one of frustration. In fact, he even links words like be strong, let your heart take courage. The idea is to believe and to trust in God's ability to be faithful. So taking courage is the idea, I'm waiting on the Lord, and as I'm waiting, it's like I'm pulling things off the shelf. I'm being reminded of God's goodness, His kindness, His faithfulness to me. I'm rehearsing the way in which God has helped me historically, and my waiting is I'm taking courage. I'm not just asking for courage. No, waiting actually causes me to take courage. Waiting is linked to spiritual empowerment. Look at all the problems in his life that he's called to wait in. So in verse 1, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Verse 2, he has enemies that he feels like are eating up his flesh. Got any people in your life that you feel like they're just nipping at me all the time? Maybe you feel like that with your kids. Maybe have you had one of your kids yet say to you, I hate you. You're so mean. Just it may happen someday and you're just like, what? How is this happening? Or you're such a mean mom. Or you've got people that you find yourself struggling because they like have a PhD in comparison, right? They like whatever you do as a mom and they share what they do, but not really sharing, they're actually one-upping you. And you can have this sense where this your soul is constantly being assaulted. Verse 3, an army encamping against me, war rising against me, all kinds of conflict. Verse 4, he appeals to be able to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. He's trying to point his heart the right direction, and yet at the same time, he's concerned about unanswered prayers. In verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry, be gracious to me and answer me. In verse 8, he's fearful of being forsaken. Verse 10, he's being rejected by his own family, for father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. One of the ways that you may need to apply waiting is just realizing that your in-laws are probably never going to change. You're just going to have to figure out how to love them with who they are. I mean, they've been the way that they've been since the crust of the earth was cooling. They're not going to change, right? And so you got to figure out how do I wait upon the Lord that I can be okay in a space where this feels really uncomfortable? Or maybe you got an extended family member, a brother or a sister, and every time that relationship is in front of you, it's emotionally and spiritually exhausting. How do you prepare for that? Well, one of the ways is you learn what it means to wait on the Lord. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path. And then he comes to this idea of believing that I should look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So what is waiting? Waiting, ladies, is the choice to see the gaps of life differently. So it's a choice to see the gaps of life differently rather than filling the gaps with things like fear or anxiety or frustration. We allow a major shift to take place in our thinking, and that is, instead of seeing waiting as something that happens to you, I'd like for you to see waiting as something you choose to do. Rather than seeing waiting as what you do when you're stuck, we want you to see waiting as something that you intentionally embrace. And for many of us, myself included, this can be incredibly transforming, because the problem is that we fill those spaces with things that aren't helpful because we're trying to gain control. We want to know what's happening. We do research to try and figure out what's taking place. We talk to other people to find out what they're doing. And eventually, we come back full circle that, you know, one of the main things that I need to do is just to wait before the Lord. Like, there are so many things in life that are just way beyond your ability to manage or control. And there's nothing like parenting that confronts you with that, like right up in your grill. I remember having a conversation with our teenage boys. They're about 14 years old. They were going out to breakfast, and we were talking about dating and things of that sort. And they kept asking me questions. And as I asked me questions about, you know, how we think about things as parents and dating and everything else, I was giving them the best answers that I could. And eventually one of them got kind of this strange look on his face. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, I'm just having this strange realization that you really don't know what you're doing, do you? And I said, no, I don't. We're doing the best that we can. And he was like, okay, I got to think about that. And I was like, yeah, so do we. I mean, it was just like, what? But that's the truth, right? And so much of what it means to be a parent, so much of what it means to be a spouse, so much of what it means to be a Christian is just we live in this world where, Lord, I need you to help me because there's no guidebook on this. Like, there's no playbook for how this works out. And waiting is an essential part of what it means to be a Christian. So we ought to think, look, we need to do this and then wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. There's so many times when you won't know if what you're saying is getting through to the minds and hearts of little children, and you have to wait on the Lord. He's got to empower your words. If you try and force obedience or force faith or make a kid fall in line, it's going to completely backfire. Parenting is one of those traumatic moments where you just come face to face with the fact, I am not in control of my life. I'm not in control of my kids. I can do the very best that I can, but there are huge gaps that God has to fill. And I just want to encourage you, that's normal. That's to be expected. It's actually really good. So instead of resisting that or resenting that, why not embrace that and say, Lord, I've got to wait upon you. So there are ways in which waiting is expected and normal in our human experience. Think of, for instance, the last wedding that you went to. Now, if you're like my wife, the one thing we can never do at a wedding is be late, because she doesn't want to be walking in while the bride's walking in. I mean, I get it, but that's like, I mean, she doesn't want to be late in general, but late for a wedding, that's like, we ought not even go. Why? Because part of what it means to go to a wedding is you're ushered in, you get there early, and then you just sit there. Because the moment of the wedding is when the bridesmaids come down And then when the bride enters and then everyone stands after the mother-in-law remember or the mom remembers to stand, to turn around and look, and to go to a wedding assumes we're going to go be seated and wait. In fact, you go to a wedding planning for that moment, and if you miss that moment, it's really problematic. My point is this. That's really what most of the Christian life is like. The trouble is that we view our walk with Jesus more like a Chick-fil-A drive-through line than we do waiting at a wedding. We have the wrong mindset. I want to go, get this done, get this taken care of. I want to hear my pleasure and have everything that I want and then kind of go on with the rest of my day. And yet, if that was the case, just think of how godlike you'd think you are. God has built gaps into our life for the purpose of reminding us that we're not ultimate. I mean, just think of this. God, in his created order, decided that last night I'm going to need 7 hours of sleep. So I spent 7 hours last night in a comatose state, mouth probably open, moderately snoring, flipping back and forth. Imagine angels looking down at human beings and seeing us in this collective. All of us last night were generally in the same position. It's not glorious. It's not attractive. Our hair's a mess. Right? And that is a third of our life is in that. Why did God design that? Because think of the problem if we had unlimited energy, if we had unlimited capacity, if we could do everything that we wanted, there would be no gap for God to fill. And that's the point when it comes to waiting, is that waiting is an essential part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So again, the main thing I just want to push into you today, instead of resisting and resenting those moments, I want you to embrace them. Stop living with a Chick-fil-A mindset drive-through and think of yourself, I get to sit and wait for God to meet my needs. So take strength. So here's the other text. That's command. Just very quickly, identity. Look at verse 24 of chapter 31. Waiting isn't just a command, it's also who you are. It's an identity marker. Verse 24 says, be strong and let your heart take courage. The previous text offers another command, wait for the Lord. But this text is different. It says, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. In other words, the strength and the courage, it's Psalm 31:24, the strength and the courage is reflective of the person who is waiting. So the waiting then isn't just a command, the waiting is actually an identity marker. So sometimes physical actions tell us who a person is in a story. For instance, if you were going to go to Cox Hill Gardens tonight, and you're walking around, and all of a sudden you see a couple, and they're walking around, and you see a photographer hiding in the woods, and the next thing you notice, he's down on his knee, you look and you're like, I know exactly what's going on right here. He's got knee problems. No, you know exactly what's going on. He's proposing. He's a proposing young man. You see the physical marker, and as a result, you know what he's doing. So those who are strong and those who are courageous are those who wait for the Lord. It's an identity marker. It is a descriptor of those who are noted as Christians. So Christians wait. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's an essential identity marker of what it means to be a Christian. So finally, let me just give you three ways to think about how to apply this very practically. I don't have time to fully unpack the identity marker, but let me just give you three ways to think about waiting. So responding, preparing, and planning. So think of waiting in terms of responding and preparing and planning. So first, responding. For most of us, we need to change how we respond to seasons when God calls us to wait. And rather than resenting or resisting the position that you're in, you could see it as a moment for spiritual transformation. What could that sound like? It could sound like this, that in a prayer time, you could say something like this to the Lord. God, thank you for the reminder that waiting is normal and it's hard and I shouldn't be surprised. Or a reminder that God, you're in control of the events and the timing of my life, and as a result, I can rest in you. Or to be reminded that there's a lot you don't know, that's true, But there's a lot you do know that's true about God in this moment. And the question is, what's more important to you when a gap season comes? Is it more important, I got to know how this is going to turn out? Or is it equally and more important, I know who's in charge and I know that I can trust the Lord? Perhaps you could think, this uncertainty pushes me towards more dependent prayer, and that's really good. So the more I've dug into this subject of waiting, and I'm doing some additional work in this space, I'm really helped because I'm finding something taking place in my soul, which is this, that when I'm called to wait, I'm less annoyed and shocked by it. Don't get me wrong, it's still not easy. I still hate living with the tension of not what's going on. I'm a consummate researcher. I drive my wife crazy because when we're making a decision, I'll explore every single option. And what I'm finding is my tendency to do that with my first reaction is actually diminishing because I'm seeing waiting as something that's really valuable. So responding the right way. Secondly, preparing. Here's another thing maybe think about. Every day, in some way, God's probably asking you to wait on something. It could be something that's a long-term issue. It could be a short-term thing. And what would it look like if every day you just took a few moments, maybe a minute or two in your prayer time and just said, Lord, today there's probably going to be moments where you're going to ask me to wait. Would you help me to see them as an opportunity to grow in grace, not as something that's frustrating and makes me feel out of control? Take a few moments and just remind yourself that the Lord is your light and your salvation. The Lord is the strength of your life. The Lord is the one who you can run to. You can think about maybe memorizing a passage or maybe taking that small book that I mentioned by Andrew Murray and just after your time in the Word, just read through a quick section to remind yourself, I'm entering into a world today where there's going to be lots of waiting and I need to embrace that as normal and positive, not something that's annoying and negative. And then finally, planning. Some of you are planners. You like to have things all kind of set. You like to think and help your family to be able to move from point A to point B, and all of that's wonderful. But the challenge is that so many of us who are planning oriented, we don't build waiting into our planning process. Because we're more interested in getting it done than we are becoming the people that God wants us to be. And here's one of the things that I have found. I've started building waiting into my schedule and into my planning process, and I've seen God do amazing things. Like there's a kind of an emergency appointment, not a dire emergency, but something that was important. I thought, you know what? I could do this today, or I could do this 2 days from now and allow the Lord some time to prepare that person's heart and mine. The urgency in my soul is like, let's get this done and take care of, so I don't have to think about this anymore. I want to get this done. I thought, no. I want to give the Lord some time. And then going to that conversation, completely different conversation, because the Lord had some space to work. So think about what it would look like to plan for the purpose of waiting and to build waiting into the equation of your life and think, well, before we make this decision, before I jump here, before I draw this conclusion, before I look for X plus Y equals Z, maybe I just need to take a moment and realize that I need to add another thing into the equation, which is let's take some time just to wait on the Lord, to slow down. So here's what Andrew Murray says in conclusion. If it be true that our highest blessedness is in having much of God as we can, if it be true that Christ has redeemed us wholly for God and made a life of continual abiding in His presence possible, then nothing less ought to satisfy than to be ever breathing this blessed atmosphere. Andrew Murray says, yes, I wait upon Thee. So I want to encourage you to not only wait the right way, but I want to encourage you to embrace intentional waiting by waiting right away. Don't just react and say, well, I guess I have to wait. No, no. See waiting as an opportunity for God to do what He intends to do, is to shape you, to form you into the image of Christ, and to do that in the gaps so that you can be everything that He wants you to be for His glory, for the good of your families, and for the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. Thanks for letting me address you today. Let me pray. Father, I ask that You would bless these women, give them strength and grace to know how to apply Your word in challenging and persistent pains. Give them resilience, and Lord, for moments of waiting that they may be in right now, I pray that this talk today would just be encouragement to keep waiting, waiting well, We're thankful that you can help us, that you are our light and our salvation. We don't need to be afraid. We can trust you. So let us today, Lord, take courage as we wait upon you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I think you have some questions here behind me that I put together for you guys to discuss. So thanks for letting me talk to you today. Have a great meeting, okay?